check. Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Greetings and salutations, friends. How are you? All right, getting some big feedback there. Let's take care of that right now.
Yeah, that's not the speaker.
Getting some mixed minus here. And we are broadcasting live from Duffy's outside of Stony Brook Golf Club. And out here for our charity golf event, raising money for hurricane relief. Glad you could be with us today. A lot of you in person. Many of you listening, of course, on the radio. Thank you so much. You can still follow us on Twitter, and you can follow me at Craig, ESPN, Pete Shepherd's at Pete Shep 326. Chris is at Chris in SWFL. Our phone number and our Stony Brook Golf Club text line remain the same, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Lots to do here today. Gave out some raffles, some prizes. By the way, I got to give a shout-out to my man Rick Cecil, Luck of the Irish. He won our 50-50 draw and donated it right back to the cause.
Fantastic.
So thank you very much for
that.
Thanks to Jeff Nixon for having us out here at Stony Brook, and thanks to Duffy's. Pete Shepherd, how are you today?
I'm great. Is our speaker working? People can't hear us. They want to hear us.
I think we're good now.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Yeah, we're good.
Oh, good. Excellent. Welcome.
Mixed minus went away.
I echo everything. We had a blast. It was great seeing everybody today. Everybody's now getting some great food over here at Duffy's. Jeff Nixon, unbelievable job, and the staff doing a great job here. Brian Bruno, Naples Wealth Planning, all our sponsors you can see behind us. We're here at Signs in One Day, Stretch Lab, Gavin's Ace, Triton, Lightning Realty Group.
So Silver Bay Chevrolet.
Yes.
Stretch Lab. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. It's been a great crowd out here today. So Pete and I did not golf. We went around on the golf cart and harassed people in their backswings.
Very generous people. It didn't take much to Jedi mind trick them into buying some more raffle tickets and 50-50. It was fantastic. Great crowd. So
it was.
Everybody's having good. The weather was nice. A little chilly to start, but once
It was Buffalo, New York out here this morning.
Get out of here.
In Estero.
By the way, there is no Buffalo, New York anymore. It's gone.
It's a whiteout.
It is under at least 4 feet of snow. We just saw Orchard Park. Wow, I haven't seen it like that. I may not have ever seen it like that.
It's a bowl full of snow.
Epic storm, even for Buffalo, going on up there.
I have some minor breaking news also.
Yes.
I am told that Chris Beasley's group did not win a Beasley golf outing.
I was going to save it for the Sports Center rundown.
You know what? I'm sorry.
You wrecked it.
But it was it's breaking news.
That was breaking news. Yeah.
That's never happened before.
Yep.
So that's good.
My good friend Dave won the putter that was donated as well.
So
that's awesome.
If
I putt
with a $75 putter or a $400 putter, I mean, does it make putts for you? Is it better?
You know the Rodney Dangerfield one in Caddyshack where it lines up? That's what that does.
I did take one little swing with it. I didn't hit anything with it. It's brand spanking new. I can't tell if that would help my game or not, but it looked pretty fancy, I'll tell you that.
Fantastic. Good practice. Practice, like 5 hours a day putting.
Yeah, you could take it to Top Golf and get some good cuts in with it.
Yeah, that's right up your alley.
For those that don't know, I have putted off the top deck.
Only one ever to do so.
Well, I'm an original. I'm an enigma. And I got points.
You did. You got one in the target.
By the way, the person that filmed me doing that ratted me out, is a good friend of mine. He was here today. I think he just left Detroit Pizza. He and his company were out here.
Yeah.
And I did not win the putter, so won't be using it at Top Golf anytime soon.
Well, what a night last night. The Packers really it's time for Jordan Love. That's all I know.
He's demanding
it's time
to be traded.
For Jordan Love.
He wants to be traded if they don't use him. He's looking at Aaron Rodgers suck out loud, and he's like, put me in, coach.
Even if Aaron Rodgers played reasonably well, which he didn't, and they lost, it's still as long as the L is there, they got they're done. It's 4-7. It's done. See what that guy can do, if he can do anything. But that was a great victory for Tennessee last night. I didn't want to see it. I don't think Chris wanted to see it.
I did for divisional purposes.
Well, for predictions, right, for divisional purposes. But I was just you would think the Packers coming off a big win like they had over Dallas, overcoming a two-touchdown deficit in the fourth quarter, would put up a better effort. Again, Jones and Dillon, 18 for 53 on the ground. Come on, man. Mm.
Washed-up Derrick Henry is now over 1,000 yards for the year. He's the first one in the
first
NFL.
First one since Walter Payton.
He hasn't played anybody.
Oh, here we go.
So you can do it, but I can't?
I was going to say, you sound a little bit like a caged in the corner Craig Sheeman with a comment like that. Fire it off. Oh, man.
Yeah, he proved me wrong.
So, Aaron Rodgers, guess how many games he's gone without throwing for 300 yards? It's been 16 games.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Almost a whole full season without throwing 300 yards. He was 227 last night.
At least he took some responsibility last night for a change.
Derrick Henry had a higher QB rating than Aaron Rodgers. That jump pass for the touchdown was spectacular.
Yep.
I enjoyed that immensely.
Yep, Packers are at Philly on November 27th in a Sunday night game.
And
the Titans host Cincinnati.
Pete, you and I, we've seen a lot of Packer games at Lambeau over the years. I don't recall them ever being booed off the field at halftime like they were last night.
No. Not
in the last 30 years.
Maybe back to Lynn Dickey.
Yeah.
Back to those days.
Yeah, Forrest Gregg and Lynn Dickey days.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's about it. And maybe that was even in Milwaukee. They used to play a couple of games a year in Milwaukee and not in Green Bay. But, wow.
That was
something.
So
they've had it.
All right, we'll discuss that. And then some other news from that game, more NFL news. We've got some college news as well with Heather Dinich with an interesting report. But first, it is 7 minutes past the hour. It is time for a SportsCenter rundown. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Chris.
Well, last night after the Titans' victory over the Packers, offensive coordinator Todd Downing charged with driving under the influence and speeding. The arrest happened at about 4:30 in the morning, according to the Tennessee Highway Patrol. World Cup organizers have banned the sale of alcohol around the stadiums in Qatar for the World Cup. It starts Sunday. They're just changing stuff whenever they want over there. Spain is ranked number one in the world in the latest FIBA World Rankings. It's the first time in 12 years USA is not number one.
All right, thank you very much. Other news.
Yeah.
So the Titans got home last night from Lambeau. Their offensive coordinator, Todd Downing, got in a car, drove home, and got nailed for a DUI at 4:30 in the morning. So
Must have had a few on the plane.
On the team plane?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, $2,500 bail.
Jeez.
Luckily, nobody was hurt. Dangerous situation.
Yeah.
But a dangerous situation avoided, no alcohol in Qatar.
No.
So they just make up rules as they go along, as Chris just said. Just make it up. What's next? You know, you can only breathe a certain amount of times.
No people allowed. That's going to be next.
Banned. You're banned from the country.
So my understanding was there was disagreement between FIFA and government officials. And we were told, I think there's still going to be areas where you can drink, but I think they're going to be more like tailgate tent areas outside.
BYOB?
That's what I understand.
No, I think you've got it opposite. I think you'll still be able to get a beer inside, but outside the stadiums, you will not be allowed to have a beer.
And Budweiser is a major sponsor, and they're part of this, and they're trying to...
Craig, they pay over $10 million to sponsor this event.
To have nobody drink beer? they've got to be pissed.
I mean, I get it that a lot of their... lot of that money is because of people watching at home, not people there in the stadiums. But still, you want the on-site presence.
Budweiser's Twitter account a little while ago said, well, this is awkward. Then they deleted it. And Budweiser World Cup sponsor deletes tweets saying it's awkward that no beer will be sold at Qatar stadiums. Football's relationship with alcohol should really be debated, but maybe not with just 2 days to go after 12 years, according to David Kahn, who writes for Guardian on Investigations.
Wow. Well, and I'll add to it again. Who could have seen this coming? Who could have thought that a World Cup being held in Qatar would have had controversy around
it? Look, we had the story yesterday, and I'm buying it that Ecuador was bought off $7.5 million, so Qatar could win the opener 1-0 in the second half. That is backed up. I've seen three reports now that say the same thing. So if you put shekels on Cutter tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, 11:30 at FS1 or 11 o'clock on FS1, three reports now that I've seen, the Ecuadorian players paid off $7.4 million to throw the game. So Cutter can win the opener, which you informed me, which I did not know. The host country has never lost the opener at a World Cup.
Correct. Now, most of the time, that's because Brazil's hosting, France is hosting, Germany is hosting, but even South America. South America, I think, won, and when we hosted in 94, we drew 1-1. So, again, never lost. So,
wow.
Russia didn't lose, but we found out after the fact that their entire team was on PEDs. It was part of that statewide doping scandal.
And then getting back to what happened with Tennessee, the NFL has a policy. I've forgotten about this, too. NFL has a policy against alcohol on team planes or buses. The league has started an investigation regarding whether that rule was broken in Titans offense coordinator Todd Downing's case. I get the feeling it was. I'm sure it is all the time.
I think that's like holding. It's always, that rule is always going to be broken.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, I never condone drinking and driving. I will tell you, though, that Todd Downing has been criticized and their offense has been doo-doo lately. They had a season-high 408 yards. Maybe he was in a celebratory mode, but he just couldn't control it. That's where I'm going with that one. Titans win 7 of their last 8. They are quietly hot, even though they haven't been really clicking offensively. Packers, of course, have lost 6 of their last 7.
I don't know. I look at that team, and I just don't think, like, oh, that's a good football team.
Well, they're sound, though. It's not a sexy team.
No, not at all.
They're not a lot of them out there.
But I just feel like that's the team that they'll probably get into the playoffs just because of the division that they're in.
Get in? They might be the two. They were the one seed last year. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, well, and what happened? That's kind of the point that I'm making is, like, don't buy into this Tennessee team. They're going to come up against a juggernaut offense, and they just don't have the horses offensively to be able to run.
Well, here's the problem. I'll tell you this. And actually, I heard Pat Kerwin this morning say it. He is on track for, like, 400 touches. He's going to run out of gas again in the playoffs. Yeah. He's going to be and he's on Sean Alexander's pace, where you have 3 good years and then you're in the toilet.
I'm with you. Let's not forget, though, 2 years ago, they should have advanced, right? They had that big lead.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. I think but we'll say again. We got half a season left, basically. Well, 7 games.
I know, but this time last year, they were cruising for that number one seed. They looked very formidable, and then they ran out of gas in the playoffs. Right now, to Chris's point, you look at them now, you don't go, "Wow, they're formidable." Look out. I mean,
no.
Although they have won 7 of 8, that's hard to argue against. Yep. But they don't. You don't. You look at them last night or any other game, and you don't go, "Wow." And 2 of those 7 have been against the Colts. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and
I think there are better teams than the AFC.
I chalk last night up to Aaron Rodgers.
He was terrible.
He was below terrible. Yep. He was incompetent on the football field last night. How are you missing guys that are running wide open across the field? I mean, he threw the ball in the dirt when he had Sammy Watkins for a big game.
I know.
He did. He overthrowed. He underthrowed.
A couple nice passes, but the rest of them were exactly that. You sit there and go, what am I watching? If you didn't see Rodgers and 12 on the back, you'd be like, who is this guy?
So this is who the Titans have beat this year. The Raiders, the Colts, the Commanders, the Colts, the Texans, Broncos, Packers.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
That's not strength of schedule.
Well, it's not their fault.
No, it's not.
Okay.
But a lot have been a lot of low-scoring, like, low score wins.
Now, with that said, though, their losses are the Giants, the Bills, and the Chiefs. So there's a clear deal where they take a step up and play a playoff caliber team. They don't answer the bell. Even the Giants, who
that was 21-20, though. You're right. Buffalo blew them out 41-7, but 21-20 that game.
But I don't care about that because you beat the Raiders 24-22. You beat the Commanders 21-17.
That's
like
fair.
They're not an impressive football team. Congrats on the win last night.
Yeah.
But down the stretch, looking at the schedule, who they've got left, they've got the Bengals and the Eagles the following weekend.
And by the way, the Eagles just shored up their game plan to take on Derrick Henry at the line of scrimmage.
You know, they're going to get into the playoffs. They're going to get into the playoffs. They're going to win that division. They got 2 more games with the Jags. They got a game with the Texans. They've got the Bengals, Eagles, Chargers and Cowboys in addition to the NFC South teams that they have to play. They're going to get in. But I can tell you right now, if my Dolphins end up in a wild card spot, that's the team I want to play.
Yeah.
Because they'll be that game will be done and dusted by
halftime. Oh, Cristobal, let me tell you about be careful what you wish for. I played that game with myself.
Done and dusted by halftime.
It's never that easy.
Maybe first quarter. Maybe.
Here we go.
Let's all get to the playoffs first.
I'd say the same for any AFC wildcard team. That team that we saw last night, that's the team you want to play. Ryan Tannehill throwing a touchdown or throwing an interception when a touchdown ends the game in the fourth quarter, he throws a pick. It's what Ryan Tannehill does.
Yeah. And I'm just telling you from experience, be careful what you wish for.
No matter
who you play against, if your team has a crappy day or a below-average day, you can lose.
Look, the Dolphins are going to win the division, so I think that it's a moot point. We shouldn't even talk about it.
Where's the crystal ball? You see it?
Oh, no, I'm looking at the current standings right now,
okay.
Pete. That's the crystal ball that I'm looking into.
Oh, okay.
I think it was here we talked last time when we did the win-loss game, and you guys both said that the Lions would beat the Dolphins.
Is this when you stormed off the set?
That's exactly what happened.
I said no such thing.
I absolutely did.
If I did, it was just to antagonize you.
I remember it specifically and vividly. It happened.
No, that's just not a team. That's not one of the seven best teams in the AFC. They're going to get into the playoffs just because of the division that they're in.
I still think we got a lot of football left. It's not like the playoffs start tomorrow or next week. We got seven games left.
You sound like Craig Sheeman talking about college football. Let the season play out.
Your college football. You just don't want to see rematches. You don't want to see. There's something wrong with you. You don't want a fun college football playoff. Everybody else wants it except you.
I have fun with the four.
You're on Sheeman Island. No, you don't. Nobody has fun with four.
In fact, if it were up to me, I'd cut it to two because the semifinals are usually blowouts. Let's just get to the – you know what? You're going to make me wish the BCS was still active. Just two.
I could see you being a big fan of the BCS.
You are a big computer guy, Craig.
I
railed against it for my entire career, and I feel vindicated that we expanded it to a 14 playoff. And then I was like, mission accomplished.
But your whole thing is the BCS. It's only two. Regular season means so much. Don't lose a game. Yeah. Remember?
It kind of does.
It really fits into your argument.
But I'm not going there. I just fought too hard against the BCS.
This is the latest that my chaos theory, it's gotten better each year since we've been doing this together, over 5 years. This is the best. Please, everybody, light a candle. Root for USC. Root for LSU to beat Georgia in the SEC championship. Watch Craig Sheeman squirm under the pressure of the college football committee because they don't know what the hell.
And squirming on my part.
Please, Michigan, Ohio State, whoever wins, win by a point, 2 points, 3 points. Let it be a squeaker so the committee doesn't know what to do. It's going to be fantastic if that happens. I am absolutely rooting for that. USC wins outright, which would be three ranked teams in a row, plus win the Pac-12. LSU somehow upsets Georgia in the SEC championship. And Ohio State and Michigan play 3-point game or less.
USC's going to lose to Notre Dame.
In trouble.
USC's losing to Notre Dame. I'm not worried about them. Probably will beat UCLA though.
And then
you think that?
No, just making an argument.
I was going to say,
he's already squirming. He doesn't know what to do. You know the scene in Miracle. You know, remember the scene in Miracle where Herb Brooks is on the bench? And they're beating the Russians the last 3 seconds. And then he goes, "You don't know what to do."
That boy is goalie.
Because they were never in that situation before. You've never been in this situation before, have you? You're a little scared.
Yeah, a little. All right, I'll tell you what I'm scared about. I got my Hoosiers at Xavier tonight. That's a
tough place to play.
I think it's a point and a half game right
now. That is one of the toughest homes.
Sean Miller, Archie Miller's brother, coaching against us. A little family vendetta. We'll see what happens. It's right at 6:00. I got to speed out of here after the show.
Yeah,
hustle on down there. I think that's an FS1 broadcast.
Go Musketeers. Go Big East.
What's the line on that game?
1.5.
Pick 'em, basically, huh?
Yeah.
Is Xavier favorite?
No, Indiana is by just 1.5.
Sucker line.
You think?
Sounds like it. I don't know. I haven't seen Xavier this year.
I don't know what to make. It's their first road game.
Xavier.
Like Z.
Xavier.
Like a Z.
Xavier.
X is a Z.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it's up to 2.5 now.
Is it really?
Yeah. But that arena in Cincinnati, that is a tough place to play.
That's our first road game.
They're 3-0. Indiana's 2-0. Xavier's 3-0. Xavier has beaten Morgan, Montana, and Fairfield.
So nobody.
Nobody. No. This is their first game. Of the
year. Just like Indiana has beat
nobody.
FAU and IUPUI? That's not a school anymore.
No. We lost. We beat.
You
know what?
Hang on.
Out of sight, out of
you
got to
remember
Morehead State.
No, I'm on
to Morehead. Morehead State.
That's right.
And Bethune-Cookman.
And Bethune-Cookman. Yes. I'm all about moving on to the next game.
Can't forget Morehead State.
Xavier, and then you got a tough MAC matchup with Miami of Ohio.
Miami of Ohio could be a tough matchup. I don't know. Sometimes they're respectable. I don't know what they are this year.
Really?
What, Miami of Ohio?
In basketball?
Once in a while, they
do. Once in a while, they
the MAC, yeah. There's.
Can't take them lightly, Chris.
Okay.
I'm sorry. They're not Gardner-Webb. All right? I know you only beat them by 6 at North Carolina last night.
I'll take your word for it.
All right.
Man.
So we are just warming up. Lots of football to talk about. We're going to get into maybe a new realigning of power in college football. I will explain all that.
We actually touched on that a couple of days ago. Yeah. We had some other stuff, but if it's about the SEC, it's definitely
No.
Oh.
This is not the SEC.
Oh.
This is a bigger picture stuff.
Gabe Morenci's good to go with us at 4:30 after missing last week. He attended the Raiders debacle against Indy.
We'll have to ask about that.
Yep.
Brian from Naples Wealth Planning is going to join us as well.
Yes.
So we're going to have some fun with that. And we are just warming up. You want to jump on? We do have text line and Stony Brook Golf Club text line and phone line available at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. As we continue to broadcast from Duffy's outside Stony Brook Golf Club for the rest of the afternoon, it is Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, this may come as a shock to some of you guys.
There's more to sports than the final score, but let's face it, the final score is pretty important.
Get that through your head!
This is Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris is somewhere. We got rid of him for a segment anyway. We are broadcasting out at Duffy's next Stony Brook Golf Club where we had our charity golf outing raising some money for repair in Southwest Florida following this horrible hurricane back in September. Brian from Naples Wealth Planning has been a friend of our show from day one and was the title sponsor, thankfully, once again. Always sponsor stuff that we do. Brian, how are you, man? How's it
Brian,
going?
Brian, Bruno, you're the great. Man again.
Great. Outstanding, guys. Doing great. Just such a great cause. You know, I hope we raised a lot of money. I think we did. And it's feel so bad for, all the folks and what they went through. I mean, we were pretty lucky if we weren't, on the coast. But the folks on the coast, it's nice that we can help out. So glad to be here.
No doubt.
You put me up for a day. Almost two, because where I used to live, right down the street from Bonita National, and you guys only lost power, or didn't lose power, I only lost it for 2 days. We were extremely lucky where I am in Fort Myers and where you go in Bonita, but as you know, we know a lot of the same people. We go to a lot of the same restaurants from Cape Coral to Fort Myers Beach, so it's just, it's amazing what, the resiliency, the heart and soul of all these kids. I call them kids, and most of them are. And it's anybody 30 who is a kid. But, their resiliency, all the great servers and, and managers and everything, all these businesses. And slowly but surely, they're getting there. A couple of them are back on Fort Myers Beach. I know that a couple of them are back. So slowly but surely, Cape Coral is coming along. Excellent. And, of course, around here. And just zooming around the course today, I think Craig and I was amazed. Jeff Nixon told us the ninth hole green literally floated away.
Wow.
Floated away.
I mean,
but thank you so
much
again for your generosity and everything else. And
No, thank you guys. You know, it's always great to partner with you, and we look forward to doing it again in May, and maybe we do them twice a year.
Yeah,
right? That's right. On the brighter side, how did you hit today? I saw you out there a few times.
A lot.
It's awful. A lot. Yes, I had one of my guys that didn't show up, so I had to take extra shots.
Can we call him out for that?
Yeah, because it was cold.
Yeah, you called me last night. You're like, I need to find
it. It was cold? Well, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It felt like Buffalo, New York out there when we teed off at 8:30.
Buffalo is.
And he's built like a girl. He's like, I'm like, are you kidding me? You are not going to come out here because it's cold? I said, Florida's taking you over, buddy.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad.
He grew up in the Midwest. I said, I don't get it.
No, I mean, cold, you know, 39 degrees is cold once in a while.
So it's 59 here, degrees.
No, it's
with
not.
With a stiff breeze,
no.
It was cold.
No. I didn't even wear pants. I was going to wear golf pants today. I think I threw them out.
Wow.
Well, I'm happy to say David Mobley, the long drive kid.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Last year I was out and
I was with you.
You were with me. I hit the drive of my life,
you
right?
You did.
It was, you know, what?
That was three, at least 310, 315.
Oh, yeah.
But you couldn't use it because you had the long driver
there?
No,
no. So Dave Mobley gets on his knees and out drives me like by 30 yards.
Oh, yeah. It was
that's depressing.
Yeah. From his knees. So, that was amazing.
That's depressing.
He remembered me today, and he was laughing as I walked out to the tee. And gave me a hug, which was nice. But he used this tiny, tiny club, so I let me hit first.
Yeah.
A tiny club?
It was like maybe 2 or 3 feet. It was like
really?
Had a pink handle on it, so he was basically telling me.
Like a baseball bat almost,
rubbing it in.
And not good. So I hit it again 300 yards, which was lucky for me again, but I swung with all my might because I didn't want to go down again. And I outdrove him by 50 yards. He said, I think you got me. Yes,
wow.
Good.
So he let me wear his belt.
Redemption.
Once again, tell everybody what you do, what your awesome company, Naples Wealth Planning, does, what kind of services you provide. And you're the man. You should. You could do a radio show for a living. There's no question about it. Some sort of finance, fantasy football thing. Well, go ahead. Tell the audience about Naples Wealth Planning and you, Brian.
No, we're all about, you know, as you know, helping everyone. You know, there's no client that we don't want to help. Again, we approach things holistically. We make sure we do a financial plan for you. Hence the name, you know, Naples Wealth Planning. It's so important. I mean, you don't go to a doctor and not know everything about your patient, I would hope. So we feel the same way about, you know, our clients.
Yeah.
That way we can do a great job for them. But, you know, we do everything from investments to insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a new property casualty agency, which, you know, in this environment, I think we had just started out and we had about 70 homes. You know, we lost about 40 of them. But
wow.
I'm happy to say all the insurance companies have been doing a great job for us and all our clients. So, you know, just it's great to be in a business that helps people.
Craig's parents lost their home.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, they live where our good friends Jack and Lisa live, but Kelly Green's.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost – his parents lost their home.
That's so tough, Craig. Yeah.
They maybe should, I don't know, help them out because they – you know, what you do with insurance is a lot different than some of these other insurance companies out there that seem to be trying to really – mess with people, you know.
Oh, thanks, buddy. No. I mean, integrity is important in this business if you want to be around a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, we just love it down here in Naples. I mean, we're you know, expanding across Florida. You know, we're over in Boca Raton and you know, Stuart, Florida, Tampa now.
So if somebody walked in the door with you for the first time, and whether they have a portfolio of $100,000 or $10 million, what's the first day you sit down and kind of figure out what they're all about, how old they are, how much time they got left to retire. What do you do on that first day?
Yeah, great. I think we get to know each other, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we want them to know us as much as we know them. And we want them to choose us because, you know, they feel comfortable that we're going to do a great job for them. But, you know, again, I think it's, you know, asking the tough questions. You know, a lot of advisors won't dig deep into what, you know, the goals and objectives really are.
Yeah.
And they skirt over. They just want to get assets under management. And
well, that's what they say. They're going to come in. Here's $10,000. Make me money.
Yes.
And then go and walk out. That's what I would do. Well, I have done that. No.
You have.
You're better off gambling on your pigskin picks. Take the 10 grand.
And then he'll go, well, who started quarterback this week on FanDuel? Yeah.
Well, with the recent success you've had, I got to have you as a money manager.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know. Yeah. But I know how personal you are with everybody. And, you know, I've seen you get a little bit angry during some football games, but you just don't have that demeanor. I know when people sit down with you, you make everybody feel comfortable. That's a big thing. Yeah, that's a big thing.
You're too good to me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's throw out phone numbers and websites and all that stuff to get people a list, because you're on from time to time, and maybe they're like, you know, one of these days I'm going to write that down. Let's do it now. How can people get a hold of you when you're back in the office next time?
Yeah, I said go right out to our website, napleswealthplanning.com. You know, all the advisors are listed out there, you know, our numbers out there. You can click right through, and we're happy to help.
And you're a big sponsor for Field Yates from ESPN every Thursday.
Absolutely.
And
Fields,
he loves it, does a great job. Yep.
Now, the Patriots aren't beating the Jets a 14th straight time, right?
Yes, they are.
Yes, we have we're having a little gathering on Sunday at Brian's house and his lovely wife, and as we rotate houses a lot for football games and have for since we've known
you guys
each
print
other
out a schedule in May whose house we're going to be for game. Who's the home game?
Well, you're not too far off. I'm usually the coordinator because I know what games are coming up locally. If we have to go out to watch or we rotate houses and visitors, food, what we do, the menu. That's good. I've invited you many times.
Yeah, you get
never
come,
accepted
Craig.
Ever.
Come this weekend.
You've never been invited to his house ever.
You're very gracious. Thank you.
See? Doesn't deny it.
We got to keep our Patriots streak going.
I'm the hermit. Well,
his Lions have been on more locally this year.
We're on. Lions are on TV locally against the Giants. That's a rarity. That's big awesome. 1 o'clock special.
We'll be rooting for Detroit.
Must win.
Yeah, we can do that, right?
Must win. They get back in the playoff hunt if Detroit win. Back to 4-6.
That's right.
A real winning streak of three.
A three-game winning streak at that point. With Buffalo waiting in our stadium for us to come back on Thursday.
They canceled practice yesterday. I don't know if you saw Archer. Yeah. Did you see it? The snow was up to the goalpost.
5 feet of snow or something?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Crazy. All right, buddy. Well, thanks so much. And go finish your cocktail. And,
yeah, thank you, Brian. I appreciate
great.
It.
I'll be joining you shortly.
You guys are the best. I appreciate everything.
Best. Thank you.
All right.
As Brian Bruno from Naples Wealth Planning, always a special friend and supporter of the show. And please support him at Naples Wealth Planning. All right. And if you're just tuning in, we are at Duffy's here outside of Stony Brook Golf Club, where we had our golf outing, raising some money for hurricane relief here in Southwest Florida. Talking a lot of football, talking about the game last night as the Titans win at Lambeau. Lambeau doesn't seem to be that scary place anymore because the Packers aren't that good. 27-17 final score. It could have been worse.
Yep.
Tannehill played a little better. But Aaron Rodgers isn't playing that good right now, to be honest.
He's playing terrible. Yeah. Lots of text. Browns fan in the Stero. Nice meeting you guys today. Nice meeting you
yeah,
as
good
well.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Purple Pirate said the Packers had to completely change their defense just to stop Derrick Henry. You have to change your defense to stop a running back, which is much different than making sure you keep Tyreek Hill in front of you. Well, yeah.
I wouldn't want to keep Derrick Henry in front of me. That would hurt.
Baby sister says, forget the sandwich bet. Can we make an entire deli bet with Chris?
Oh, really?
I don't know what that one's about.
I can't remember which one she had, yeah.
Arthur Bills fan still doesn't think that the coach and GM of the Sabres are going to get fired. They're going to get fired. It's just a matter of time. They're god-awful. Congratulations. Your Red Wings won last night.
Yeah.
My Bruins don't lose. They won easily 4-1. I have the potential. And, of course, I am not that way. But I do have the potential to be insufferable this spring.
Oh, dear Lord. Well, because with the Celtics,
and the Bruins going deep, deep, deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that'll overlap when the Red Sox open up, and you'll be hyperbole, Pete, on that.
No, I wasn't. Was I hyperbole me on this year? They got off to a cruddy start, then they had a run, and then they stunk.
Then you bailed on.
I have no idea what they're going to be. None. I have zero. I have no idea. How about Aaron Judge winning the MVP by as much as he did last night? Shohei Ohtani, that vote should have been a lot closer. I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah, I mean, he did things.
You know what? You're right. You hit home runs in New York and people's minds. And, you know, I think you're right. Shohei Ohtani did stuff we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. In fact, he did stuff even Babe Ruth hasn't done. But – it's hard to be buried in L.A., but he's buried out in L.A. where nobody pays attention to the Angels. And had Shohei Ohtani had that season for the New York Yankees, he'd be the MVP.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. But, you know, Aaron Judge, I mean, he's a good guy. It's going to be really interesting how it plays out, whether he ends up in Queens or he stays in the Bronx or he goes to San Francisco or some other place. But I'm hoping it doesn't matter to me. The guy's going to make – we got a sandwich bet. Who's going to make more, right?
You and Chris do, I think.
Yeah, we have a sandwich bet. Who's
is he going to top $500 million?
No, I think he's going to top $400.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's going to top $400, but we shall see.
Yeah.
The let's see. What's Titan Tyler saying?
He should be happy.
I read that one.
Titan Tyler should be happy with last night's game.
Absolutely.
Nothing else?
Says, I'm not saying we're great, but come on now. Oh, I think he's going after Chris before. Chris is showing no respect.
No respect by Chris.
No respect.
That's how it works. All right. Tell you what. We got Sound Street coming up right around the corner. And then our usual Friday hijinks. And then 4 o'clock, we'll have our pigskin picks. Gabe Morenci. And Wikipedia will be Georgia trivia since we're here at Stony Brook and Jeff Nixon is a Georgia guy.
Let me respond to one Margaritaville
sure.
again. Numbers aren't everything. Jets are going to beat the numbers Sunday against the stupid Pats. If Pete was saying about, all right, Margaritaville, share some of your brilliant wisdom and tell me why. Let me shed some wisdom on you,
uh-oh,
okay?
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Zach Wilson, you ready for this? Zach Wilson under pressure, QBR, 1.0. You know what that ranks? Last. Completion percentage when under pressure, 16%. You know where that ranks?
Where?
Last. Touchdown to interception ratio when he's under pressure this year, 0-4. 0 touchdowns, 4 picks. You know where that ranks?
Yeah.
Last. They're not beating the Patriots on Sunday. I told you, if they get to 10 points, it'll be a miracle. I'm not saying the Patriots are going to score 40. The Jets are not winning. It's going to be 14 in a row. End of story. Book it. So those are my facts. That's a fact. That's my facts, Margaritaville. I'm still waiting to hear from yours.
All right, Margaritaville, just wait for your win and call on Monday. I'll put you on the
air first.
Who's
win? I don't even know what team he roots for.
I thought the Jets. I don't know. All right. In fact, we may hear from Zach Wilson in Sound Street in just a moment. We got that coming up next. Still feel like we're warming up here on a Friday from Stony Brook and Duffy's in Estero. Come by and see us. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, let's pick things up from the Titans' win at Lambeau 27-17 last night on Thursday Night Football. I think the most fun, most impressive play of the night was Derrick Henry, the jump pass touchdown to Hooper from 3 yards out. Here was the call.
Out of the pistol this time. And he's going to throw it. Henry's going to throw it, and it's Austin Hooper for the touchdown. The catchy touchdown pass he did it tons of times through his career.
Well, you're so worried about stopping Derrick Henry. Everybody's coming up to stop him. The linebackers, the safeties, obviously the last thing you're expecting.
And that's the call from Amazon Prime last night. Afterward, here's Derrick Henry joking that he's a new young Peyton Manning.
It felt great, man. I got two of them now, so that's three? I thought I was two. Damn. You know, I call myself a young Peyton Manning, so it felt good. I was happy Hoop caught it and we were able to score. I'm like, damn, I got to make it. Good thing we were running the ball pretty well and got him to bite, and he was about open in his own.
Easy peasy. Aaron Rodgers talked about his game last night. He says, yeah, I missed a couple.
I missed a couple throws for sure. I'm not sure exactly which ones you're talking about, but I definitely missed a couple throws.
And Aaron Rodgers says, but never fear. What are they?
Three and seven.
Four, three and seven.
No, not three and seven.
I think they have 4-7.
They have 7 losses.
Yeah, 7 losses.
7. Done. Jordan Love.
He said, well, no, he says season's not over.
Yeah, season's not over. There's still 6 opportunities left. You know, we got a tough game. Got to go to Philly. Hopefully we can, these few days, get a little healthier, refresh the mind, and then obviously we got to win these next games.
Yeah, obviously. All right, so he says season's not over. Matt LaFleur, you know, he and Rodgers disagree all the time. He says we're not in a good position. Not good.
Yeah, I mean, we're not in a very good position right now, that's for sure. Like I told the guys, like there's no margin for error, period. And it's not like, I know we got a really tough team coming up in Philly. So we're going to get back to work on Monday and try to make some of these corrections, because it's disappointing when you have, whether it's a coverage bust defensively, whether it's protection busts and or, you know, any type of mistake in regards to the mental errors. That's extremely disappointing, especially where we're at in the season. And we're not, I mean, quite frankly, even when we are all on the same page, we're not executing to the level that we need to. And that's why, you know, we're sitting here at freaking 4-7.
There you go, 4-7. You were right. All right. All right, now I threw this one in here. Zach Wilson of the New York Football Jets getting ready to take on the Patriots, Pete's team, and Wilson talking about his emotions after the last New England game.
Zach, you were pretty emotional when you came off the field against them a couple of weeks ago. How do you put those emotions, keep those emotions out of the way from this game?
I thought they were good emotions. I mean, I was frustrated, and, you know, I still believe nobody outside of this building knows what they're talking about.
Okay.
What does that mean?
You fear that. I see you quaking.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
How many interceptions are you going to throw this week against them?
What do you have, three
last time. He did throw 2 touchdown passes. Look, I think the Jets are they're a solid football team. They haven't lost on the road. But just certain matchups, and I'm just telling you, they're going to have a hard time scoring against New England. And New England was banged up the last time they played. I don't think Devontae Parker played the last time either on offense. It's going to be a tough thing. I'm telling you, it's going to be a defensive game. There's no doubt about that. The last one was 22-17. And I'm just telling you, I think the Jets are going to score 7 points less. Zach Wilson, there's something in his head when he faces the Patriots defense. It's just this fact. Just look up the numbers in his career against them. They were awful. And this year, when he is under pressure, he's terrible. He's the worst quarterback in the league when he's under pressure. And believe me, Matt Judon, like he did the last game, is going to have a field day with him. Right. Going to have a field day with
him. That was the day we were at our watch party,
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. It was.
All right, so it wasn't too long ago. So these teams familiar with it, division rivals, very familiar with each other. And y'all are licking your chops thinking, well, what are the Bills going to do? What are the Bills going to do? They're the 6th seed as of today. They got a game they should win against the Browns, but neutral site, got to fly, move around, get to Detroit.
Here's what I don't understand. They canceled practice on Friday, right? And yeah. I understand that. They made the decision to cancel practice today for the safety of players and staff. However, the team is meeting virtually, and a handful of players who live in the area of Orchard Park are among those without power. Now, what I want to know is, how are they getting out?
I would have thought they'd have been out by now. All the flights are canceled.
How can they possibly
the
get out right now? I mean, maybe, I guess even if they got, in late Saturday night, but that's...
I don't know.
They're expecting to travel to Detroit on Saturday, but may have to push back the team's normal away game schedule from the typical 1 p.m. departure time because of snow Friday into overnight Saturday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be – I mean, there's also – I mean, if they get into Detroit at, like, early Sunday morning, 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
That's a possibility. And the NFL frowns upon that.
I know they do.
All pro teams want you there 24 hours in advance unless you've got a game the night before in the NBA or something. But,
correct. But Mother Nature, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that's a great point. It's like they're waiting for the storm to be over, but then the road's got to be plowed. I mean, I don't know what they're.
And the plan is to return after Sunday's game, spend a couple of days at the facility before heading back to Detroit on Wednesday.
I heard that today. I thought for sure
Why?
They would just stay in Detroit and get the extra day.
I know it's not a huge flight, but, I mean, geez, I don't know.
I'm all for it. As a Lions fan, I want them to travel as much as possible, go back and forth. I thought they had eliminated the one standing advantage Detroit had Thursday for Thanksgiving's game. But if they're going to go back to Orchard Park and then come back to Detroit again, you're chewing up all your prep time. You only have one practice day on a Thursday game. You know, you got your day off. You got your treatment day.
And it's more like a walkthrough.
I know. And now you're mixing a walkthrough on a travel day on the Wednesday.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I don't know what they're – I would stay in Detroit if I were them. But they're not me. All right.
No, they're not you.
No, they are not. 1 hour in the books. All right. I got a very interesting college football story. It has to deal with the hierarchy of college football and how they want to move forward. Heather Dinich wrote a piece about it on ESPN. We shall discuss more NFL talk heading into the weekend as we broadcast live from Stony Brook Golf Club and Duffy's, all part of our charity golf tournament here, raising money for hurricane damage here in Southwest Florida. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.